Our stewardship committee here in the cathedral jokingly refers to the annual Sermon on the Mount. Now, I don't think that I have in this cathedral ever talked turkey about cold, hard cash until today. So I've been practicing trying to sound gentle rather than passionate or hectoring. So, because sometimes when you raise your voice, that's how it comes across, so you can be heard. So this is, just think of this as gentle, okay? But true. I don't actually think it's an inappropriate use of homiletical time. Jesus has more to say about money, taxes, wealth, generosity, poverty, and greed than almost anything else in the New Testament. Our relationship with money says a great deal about us and actually about our spiritual temperament. Some of us are spenders. Some of us are savers. You might just take a moment to think about where you generally fall on that continuum and why you are like that. See, I'm fundamentally a saver, and it's because I only got $2 a week for allowance. And I had to pay for all of my Christmas and birthday presents out of it, and all of them fell between October and December. I learned to save. My father was a saver because he was a child of the Depression. But some people are spenders. Who are you? Why are you that way? That's worth thinking about. There's another continuum from stingy to generous. So some people are just naturally generous. Those are the folks who give before anybody even asks them. They're just looking for ways. Their eyes are always open, looking for ways to share what they have, a gift they could make. And the opposite of that is to try to keep as much as possible for oneself, just in case. Like my dog. You remember my dog, the hoarder? I hope it's clear that at this point, anyway, I'm talking about temperament and attitudes, not about actual amounts of money, although we will get there. Salutary tale. A few weeks ago, we received a prayer on the offering plate in this cathedral. It was a note addressed to God and apologizing for having nothing monetary to offer and pleading for divine assistance in finding gainful employment. Now here then is someone who could give nothing, but who surely has a generous heart. And which of these do you think went home justified? Said Jesus. Here also is someone that the household of faith could be helping if we had the resources. A brother or sister. And that is an observation that does bring me to some straightforward talk about our cathedral's ministry and the kind of financial investment it requires. We do publish regular reports in InTouch and in our e-news, and yet the leadership team of the parish has a feeling that many, maybe even most people, may not be fully aware of just how precarious our financial situation is. So some numbers. On a $1.4 million budget in 2019, which I will say is a modest budget for a cathedral this size, we are going to have to cut into our reserves to the tune of $310,000. You should be gasping. We do have access to some restricted funds. These are monies which have been left for specific purposes, such as children's ministry, refugee ministry, or music, and that will cover some of this amount, $117,000. That's the good news. The sobering news is that we need to find another $193,000, because 310 minus the 117 in restricted funds is 193. If we do not raise this shortfall, we will then have to cannibalize our operating reserve, and I can tell you that at a burn rate of $193,000 per year, we will exhaust that operating fund by the end of February 2020, 1 year from now. Now, the dean and the wardens, the finance committee, and the parish council have all looked carefully at these numbers and are persuaded that there are no sizable cuts that we can make that would significantly improve our bottom line. In other words, if we want this cathedral to be here, if we want to continue to do the good work that we are caring for the world and for each other, if we want to proclaim the gospel medicine of Jesus for aching and hungry souls, then we have to work on the revenue side of the equation. So what can we do? Well, here's one thing we can all do, and it won't cost us a penny, at least not in this life, and that is to leave a bequest to the cathedral in our wills. Now, in 2017, the cathedral actually broke even, and that is because we received a $200,000 bequest. And in fact, on average, we receive, and this is a conservative estimate, $65,000 a year in bequest money. Now, when it comes to bequests, people will often say, well, they'd like to, you know, but really their priority is their children. And so this hampers their ability to leave a bequest to their church. But in fact, there's a piece of information missing there, because it is part of the social contract in Canada that a certain percentage of every estate must be returned to the common good. Now, we can either do that by estate taxes. The government considers that they're part of the common good, the work that they do. Or we can designate a charity of our choice, let's say the cathedral, to receive that same amount that would have gone to the government. But no matter how we cut it, the kids aren't getting everything. It's not the way it works. It's up to us who gets that piece that is designated by our social contract, by our laws, for the common good. So a robust legacy program could be of great and continuing benefit to the cathedral. If you have not considered leaving a gift for the cathedral to use in your will, would you call your lawyer tomorrow, please, and do that? Now, the cathedral is also looking for other sources of funding. I sometimes talk about we need to get into some other people's pockets. But this is a challenge, because unlike other organizations that are competing for charitable funding, religious organizations are not eligible for operating grants from government, or in most cases, even from foundations and other granting agencies. So the local food bank, the hospital, the university, the symphony, the art gallery, all of those agencies can apply for and receive substantial government funding, assistance from foundations. We cannot. More than this, our donor base is much smaller. So we need a compelling message about the difference that our being here makes in the world, in order to attract the giving of people who don't worship here, but who care greatly about what we are doing. And then we need to dream up a few more swishy opportunities to get the word out, to get people in, and to ask for help. Ultimately, however, it will continue to be us, those who call the cathedral their church, who take the greatest responsibility for funding ministry. And so this is a time for all of us to look carefully at our personal giving. And it has to involve great intentionality, because if you're like me, you don't carry your checkbook anymore or cash in your wallet. So that means I have to think about my offering before I leave home. Or as they say, don't leave home without it. Just a few random observations. You often hear people complain that the church is always asking for money. Well, here's the part where I want to not sound shrill. Let me say three things about that. First of all, not as often as Ducks Unlimited, The Mustard Seed, or Trinity College Toronto, judging by my mailbox. Second, you know, we wouldn't ask if we didn't have to. And third, and this is the really important point, what if, as Christians, we could reframe this and see that it is actually an honor to be asked for our help? To have someone imagine that I have a generous heart and a shared commitment to something of real value. I feel honored by that. Another random point. Often people will say that they can't give more, even though they'd like to, because they are on a fixed income. Well, I'm on a fixed income too. Anybody on a salary or a pension is on a fixed income. So the question is how we are allocating our fixed income. Are we doing so in a way that it reflects the importance to us of the things that we are spending our money on? Now, please hear this. I'll be mad if somebody hasn't heard this. I completely understand, completely, because I've been there in my life, that for some people, their fixed income is inadequate to the point of poverty. People who barely get by, whose situation is the very reason the rest of us need to think about our ability to share. So please, let's take that as given. And I am also aware that many parishioners are giving very generously already. We have several donors giving over $10,000 per year. And indeed, 54 households contributing between $60 and $200 a week. I know that these folk will hear our situation, and we will continue to step up and do our part to the best of our ability. But I would love to disprove the old adage that 20% of the people give 80% of the money. If we are going to secure the future of this magnificent community, all of us need to step up and share the load. It costs $3,800 a day, or $27,000 a week, to do what we do. We just can't pull this off when 44% of us are giving less than $10 a week. Recently, at a warden's meeting, someone asked, what would happen if every household in the parish gave just another $20 a week? Well, of course, this is not how fundraising works. You can't just apply one number across the board and expect that it will be either fair or even if it was fair, that everybody would take up the challenge. It just doesn't work that way. Nevertheless, despite the fact that I consider my own gift to the cathedral already to be quite generous, I was moved to have a look at my own finances. And what I saw was rather more discretionary spending than I thought. And frankly, on things that matter less to me than this cathedral. So I am going to take up that warden's challenge and increase my contribution, not only by the amount I had already increased it in January, but by another $20 a week. I have just one last general issue that I would like to raise. Many of us have opted to give by credit card or pre-authorized remittance. Now, that has been of enormous assistance in ensuring that we have a steady flow of cash for our ongoing expenses. Still, we began to worry that when the collection plate went by, our e-givers, having already donated electronically, simply passed the plate on to the next person, giving others the impression that giving is pretty optional around here. So that's why we produced those nifty laminated cards that allow e-givers to put something on the plate as it goes by. I still think that this is a good idea. However, I would just like to point out, there is nothing that says you couldn't give more than you pledged. Like, you could feel free to drop a 10 on the plate as it goes by. The other thing I feel I need to draw to our collective attention is that although our annual givings have increased steadily, averaging a good 5% over each of the past 3 years, that increase is not coming, for the most part, from those who are contributing by credit card or pre-authorized remittance. My guess is it's just easier to say, well, just put me down for what I gave last year. But I hope you can see that as costs go up, holding one's offering steady over 3 years amounts to a decrease in the purchasing power of the initial gift. We want to make it easy for people. Your stewardship mailing will contain the necessary forms which can be returned to the cathedral for processing. Finally, while I am actually an optimist when it comes to situations like this, I do believe that when people are aware of a need, and more importantly, of an opportunity, they will do whatever they can to assist. We do good work here, much of which we have been highlighting in the notices over the past several weeks and in the narrative budget which you will receive in the mail. This work needs to continue, and it is worth our support. That includes our time, our talent, and yes, our cold, hard cash. God be with you.